Okay, folks. Realize I didn't have any audio, so let's start at the beginning. Sorry about that. So let's see. Get my thoughts here back to where we started, and so, anyways, here we are today at Paul's third missionary journey. I just say a quick prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord, so much for allowing me to see that we didn't have any audio, and that. So let me try this again. And thank you, Lord, so much for this day. And I hope everybody's having a great day out there, and may I have a blessed day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, sorry about that, folks. Now let's see, where was I? Okay, we're on Paul's third missionary journey. Now, we're starting his third journey today, and I start off by showing you that in Acts 18:23 is where we had left off. Let me get it over here. That it comments. This is where kind of where he started his missionary journey was in Acts 18:23, but he actually didn't do much. And so I'll just read it here. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And I'll just bring up a map here. And again, now some of this is a refresher, but you couldn't hear me say anything. So here's the map again. And he left Antioch, and he just, some of this is a guess because it doesn't really say. He went through Tarsus, assuming Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Turkey, and over to Ephesus. And I think based on the fact that from his last journey, that he really was excited to get back to Ephesus again. And I remember in the rest of chapter 18 that we had, it was talking about a man named Apollos. And he was, he was helped out by the folks there, Aquila and Priscilla, to understand the Bible better. And that's kind of going to be the emphasis of today, is that and Paul's going to find the same thing, that there were people in Ephesus that knew of the theory, you know, that Jesus was coming, but based on John the Baptist's preaching. So as we're going to see here in Acts 19:1 is where we're going to start. And I'll just read here from a little bit from here from Acts. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So again, this is something that Jesus was teaching, and that John really didn't know much about when he during his time before Jesus' ministry. So even though we had some people out there already spreading the word and being missionaries, they didn't have the full story. So Paul's going to try to up enlighten them. And in 19:3 we read, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He's trying to get an idea where they heard what they knew already. And I'll finish the verse here. And they said, unto John's baptism. And so as I started to do before, I'm going to review what John the Baptist's mission was. And starting in Mark 1:4, I give a little review of what John the Baptist was doing prior to Jesus coming on the scene. And I'll read from starting in Mark 1:4 through 1:8. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, this is probably the area that most of these people were talking about, that Paul's meeting in Ephesus. And also, Apollos got their original teaching. Continuing on in verse 6, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached and saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchets of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So even though they probably heard this particular sermon, they didn't really know much about what some of it meant, except maybe the repentance part. So I want to review a little bit about what Jesus himself said about this whole thing. It's a famous area where he's talking to Nicodemus. And it's in John 3, starting in 3:3. I'm just going to go through a brief portion of it. So John 3:3 to 3:5. Actually, this whole area of John is a really good section to read about the whole background of what Nicodemus was a actual Pharisee, but he had a feeling that Jesus was something special. So I'll just briefly read here, John, starting with John 3:3, and he's talking to Nicodemus at this point. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answers, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And I just wanted to review that real quick, because this will get an idea of what Paul now is trying to ask the questions to these folks over in Ephesus. So back to Acts 19:4. So then Paul, talking to these disciples in Ephesus, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they believed right away. So the Spirit came upon them, and just read 19:6 here. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, I want to review something that some people get really confused, that somehow that the only way you can know if you have the Holy Spirit is if you speak in tongues. And I personally don't believe that, and I know a lot of pastors out there that don't believe that it's important. There's some people that do, and I don't think it's worth an argument or anything, but I just want to show you from the Bible what it says about gifts of the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that the reason that the people of this time frame got this particular blessing of speaking in tongues was because of the area. If you look at the general area of Turkey and Israel, and even down into Egypt, they had a lot of different languages, and especially on the day of Pentecost, some of us have heard, is when the disciples themselves spoke in tongues. And it goes on to say that everyone around them could understand them, no matter what their language was. And I think that was the whole reason for speaking in tongues, was so that no matter what language you spoke, you would understand what was going on. So I want to review in 1 Corinthians 4 through 12. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I think it's important that we don't always assume that we have a certain gift and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. So we're starting in 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's actually seven different gifts, as we remember Pastor Storm taught us on fairly recently. Going on to 12:5, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. It means we all have different gifts. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. It means we're all part of the same body. We just have all different, we all may have different jobs. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit within. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. And if you look at that verse right there, I just want to focus on that for a second. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To me, that's telling me that they basically are learning other languages. I think that's, there's some people out there that can learn languages like you wouldn't believe. I've met a few that, I never forget this man I met that knew seven languages fluently. He just, whenever he took it upon himself to learn a new language, it came to him naturally. And I think that's a gift. And we, you know, our First Lady even is quite gifted in tongues. I understand she speaks five languages, I think, fluently. Oh, I finished that verse. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Basically, understanding different languages. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, you may have one, you may have a few. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, one body, so also is Christ. So we are all servants, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And I think that's an important aspect. I just wanted to go over that and get a little better understanding of what Paul was facing in Ephesus. And I'm going to end here today, since it's there was quite a bit there, and end off in Acts 19:7. And Paul finishing up, giving them the understanding of what being a true born-again Christian is. And all the men were about 12. That's how many people he was talking to at that particular time. And I'm going to end there today. Oh, we've been going quite a while. And because we're going to go into another section of some things that are going on. And he's going to be in Ephesus for a while, so it might be a couple of days here in Ephesus of talking. He was actually there 2 years this time. I think it was 2 years. It'll tell us in a different verse. Just as a review, I did have a couple of pictures that I think you probably, in case some people knew. This is an artist's conception of what Ephesus would have looked like about the time of Paul. That's what it looks like now. They've done a lot of excavation work, so you'll get the chance to get over to Turkey. Probably well worth going to see some of these ruins. I'm sure they're pretty impressive. So that's it for today, and I'll just close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit that you give all of us, and that it strengthens us and comforts us. And I so much love having that feeling of comfort, particularly as these days are having a little bit of stress out there in the world, in the United States today, as we look into the future. So, Lord, be with us and give us comfort, and that we all can continue to do your work and Go on with boldness. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So, folks, you have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow I'll be, I'm actually going to record it tonight. I'll play it in the morning, but I'm actually going to be up at Mayo Clinic tomorrow for my monthly visit up there. So I'll play that for you. But I'll see you then, and have a great day.